Good morning, family. We're going to continue the idea, the thought of the questions that Doug and I hear, and maybe some that you've shared with us since we've started this. But we're answering questions about God, about the Bible, and about life. And if we were all really honest, we probably have more questions than we do answers. And so that's kind of what Doug and I are doing here over the next several weeks. And what we have been doing, what we will be doing, is answering questions. Maybe you have one on your heart. Maybe you have one on your heart that you just you want to know. And you can feed those to Doug or I. They have to be answered out, be able to be answered out of the Bible. You know, will the Green Bay Packers ever win the Super Bowl again? Well, the answer is no, but the answer also is that can't be answered by the Bible. And so, if you have a question, we'll be glad to look at that. And if it can be answered from the Scriptures, we're glad to be able to look into the Bible for that. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you for being our God. Thank you for who you are to us. And thank you for this worship this morning. Father, we believe that we are here because you have ordained us to be here. That you have set aside this time, that you have meant for us and those in this room and those who are listening on the radio and those who are listening and watching on Facebook, that the people that are listening and watching and worshiping today are gathered for a reason. So Father, we pray that you will reveal that to us as we worship you, that you will guide and lead, that you will make your presence ever known as we continue in our worship. And the church said, amen. Is it okay to doubt? That's a big question. Is it okay to have doubts or to doubt? Now, we're not talking about your favorite sports team or will it rain? I mean, rain yesterday, we came from Rio Doso and it just poured and poured and poured on us. And the closer we got, you know, Madeline said, Daddy, that doesn't mean it's going to be raining in Roswell. And sure enough, you know, the closer we got, the drier it got. And man, it came right up to us and that wind was blowing really hard. I doubt it that it was going to rain. It didn't. But that's not the doubt we're talking about. Is it okay to doubt when it comes to God? When it comes to things of God and things about God, is that okay? Well, the answer, in small part, is yes and no. You see, the Bible will address doubt or unbelief that is not healthy. James would write in his letter that if anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave in the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is doubt, double-minded and unstable in all they do. Pretty strong warning there to a body of believers that if they need wisdom or if they lack it, that they should just ask God. And then James says, when you do, don't doubt, because you're like that wave. Now that word doubt there is, it's a big, big long word, but it means to think that something may not come true or that something is not certain. All right, God, it needs wisdom, all right? I just can't get through this life without it. And James said, I got to go ask you. So I'm asking you, God, but I doubt that you're really going to answer, all right? I doubt that it's going to happen. It's not really, it's just not happening, God? And that's the doubt or the unbelief that James is dealing with. It's going to God and saying, God, I want this. I know you can give it, but I know you're probably not going to give it. And James says, don't think that you're going to get anything from God with that doubt. It doesn't work that way. Isn't it interesting that people in the Bible so often saw the greatness of God and yet doubted? You remember Moses and the things that he saw? You would think that a burning bush would be enough. You would think a bush that was on fire, Bible class teachers, that did not burn up. You think that would be enough for Moses to say, whatever, God. But then the people start to complain. Moses goes back to God and said, what do you want me to do with these people? Instead of trusting in God. Elijah on Mount Carmel. Remember all the gods of Baal against Elijah and his one God. And the defeat that God came and showed in the face of Elijah and all those prophets of Baal. And then you turn around when it was told to Miss Jezebel what had happened. She said, buddy, you're toast. And Elijah, who just saw God do wonderful things, begins to he just wants to die. It'd be better if I were to die. And you would think that what he saw from God would lead him to a faith that would not be shaken, no matter what dear sweet Jezebel said to him. You would think that David, after defeating Goliath and the Philistine army, and seeing all the wonderful things that God would do, would not have a need to count his army to know if he could defeat when he went into battle. You see, there's doubt all through Scriptures. And maybe that's a call for us. Maybe there's a call for us to believe and to understand that you're not alone. I mean, I look at Moses to think, that dude had it. David defeating Goliath, Elijah at Mount Carmel, and yet they struggled. You see, I think that's some of our issues today in church, because we don't allow people to struggle. We don't allow people to say, yes, I doubt. I don't know about God. I don't know what I believe about God. And I'm still trying to figure this Christianity thing out. And we kind of frown on those people. And we kind of look down on people if they don't believe the way that we believe, or that they're not where we are in life. And so what we have is churches filled with people that are simply good at hiding their doubt. We have churches that are full of people that will tell you that everything is all right, when inside they really struggle with their belief in God. I believe it's time, family, for us to take a stand and to say that it's okay to have doubt. It's okay to wonder. It's okay to try to figure things out. The Bible will address a different kind of faith in Mark chapter 9. When Mark would write, so they brought him when the Spirit saw Jesus immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. Now this is where the apostles could not cast the demon out. Threw him into a convulsion. He fell onto the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked this boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood. He answered, can you imagine? It has often thrown him into the fire and water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, Jesus said, everything is possible for the one who believes. Immediately, the boy's father said, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Okay, there's two words there. I do believe. Help me in my unbelief. It's pisteo, that's our belief, and it's a pistei. A meaning the non part of belief. So, I do hear, and I don't hear. But what this story conveys to us as believers is that there's a battle, a struggle going on. And there's this idea that there's something that is concrete, and I believe in you, Jesus. I believe in what you can do. But there's a little something else, and I just haven't got it down. Help me in my unbelief. You know, in the story, Jesus did not zap him on the spot. You see, in that story, unbelief is like what I have up here on stage. Everybody's got a pile of junk. Well, this isn't junk, okay? But this is for my illustration. Everybody has a pile of stuff they just don't know what to do with, all right? Are we the only household that has a junk drawer? Anybody else have a junk drawer? Oh, yeah. Two of them, three of them, yeah, just, we don't know, so throw it in the drawer. You know, company's coming, get it in the drawer. I don't know what to do with that stuff, so it's going to go right there. I don't know what to do with this stuff, it's going to go right here. Some of you have attics that are just unfinished. Maybe you don't have the funds yet. Maybe you just don't know what to do with that particular room. Or maybe the attic is filled full of stuff that you just don't know what to do with. So if you push it to the side, then it can just stay there in eternal unknowingness. And we got them. They're there. And so what this story in Mark is saying is, God, I've got some things together. I've got some things that I've got figured out. And I believe in you. But I've got a pile of stuff over here, God. Jesus, I've got a pile of stuff and I just don't know what to do with. Help me with this. Do you see the difference when James wrote and when Mark wrote? When James wrote, he said, God, give me wisdom, but I don't think you'll get it. I don't think I'll get it. I don't think I'll receive. And when Mark wrote, when the father said, Father, Jesus, I believe I'm having some struggles with some things. Help me with the things I can't get put together. So when I say yes, it's okay to doubt, and no, that's what I'm talking about. There are some things in life that we still struggle with. And you can come to church every day for the rest of your life, and you may still struggle. Some people have the ability in faith to believe everything. And some people struggle every day with their faith. Sometimes that's built into us. Sometimes that is because something happened in life to us. Well, God, how can I trust you if you took my loved one away? How do I look at you and figure out that all things work for good for those who love you if I hurt still? And so we struggle on all areas, but truth is, most, if not all of us, have a pile of stuff that we're still trying to work through. But how do we do it? How do we, and maybe this is the real question, walk with God and live with doubt? Three things. First thing, and it's yours. Walk with God. Well, that sounds pretty dumb. Obvious. Just walk. Take steps with Him. Don't stop. John would write, according to those, now there were some things going on in 1 John that was that were happening that John had to write specific things to. There were some people saying that you can live without sin, and you didn't, you know, the body was separate from the spirit, so you could do whatever you wanted to in the body because the body stayed and the spirit went on to heaven. So he would write this, but I think it's important for us in this discussion. This is a message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light, and Him is there is no darkness at all. We know that's our source of belief. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not tell the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, here's the key, what I want us to hear. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ purifies us from all sin. Don't stop walking. Don't let your struggle keep you from worshiping God. Don't let your struggle keep you from singing songs of praise to God. Don't let it hinder a relationship that God so desperately wants. See, God knows we're going to struggle. Just walk. Stumble, get up again and walk with God. Don't stop. It is He who cleanses us. It is He who watches out after us. It is He who will carry us through. Second thing is give it to God. The Father, help me in my unbelief. Peter walking on water. Remember the story of the disciples? Remember how they would they were in the boat and they thought they saw, you know, it's a ghost, you know. And that is in the translation somewhere. And they were really frightened. He said, come. So Peter, St. Peter, why are you being so stupid? Stay in the boat. Don't get out of the boat. You might drown, but you're not going to make it there. And the dude walks on water. He walks out towards the ghost, which is really Jesus, because he had been on the shore and he couldn't get to the boat. So instead of teleporting, he just walked in the water, because Jesus does what Jesus wants to do. And then Peter walks to him and he begins to notice the waves and the winds around him, and he begins to sink. And he cries out for help. He puts his hand out. So maybe as we struggle, part of the key is to give things to God. God, I believe this, and I can't figure this out. God, help me with this. Reach your hand to God and say, help me with my unbelief, with my pile of stuff that I can't figure out. Give it to God. The thief on the cross. Obviously not in a good spot. Obviously not in a good position. Cries out to the Savior hanging on the cross. And he says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Now we don't know what that criminal's record was for sure. We don't know how he lived his life. But we do know that today, that day, he went to be with Jesus because Jesus said so. So no matter where you're at, maybe you're on your last string. Maybe you're on your last ditch effort to live, to survive. Cry out to God. I mean, you could have just stayed on the cross and looked over and said, whoo, I messed this one up. Guess I just got to die. And he didn't. He said, save me. I need you. I want something. Don't not cry out to God. James would say this in his letter. If anyone among you is in trouble, let them pray. If anyone is happy, let them sing songs of praises. If anyone among you is sick, let them call the elders of the church or pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make a sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Don't hold things back, but give them to God. And if it's calling on our elders, believe it or not, let me tell you something right now. Our elders are not made, and they did not sign up to just have elders meetings twice a month. Amen? Yeah, I mean, it's not just about having meetings about what's going on at the church. These guys are shepherds. They're people that care about you. And let me tell you, I don't think there's a one of them. If there was one, I wouldn't point them out anyway. But I don't think there's a one of them that doesn't care genuinely about the souls of this flock. Reach out to your elder. Say, I've got a pile of stuff in my heart, and I can't figure it out. Help me. God has appointed them to be elders and shepherds. Cry out to them. Give it to God. Last, leave it to God. Let me share with you a profound truth. We need to understand that it's not us that saves us. That makes sense? It is not you that saves you. God, I'm full of doubt. How can I ever get to heaven? You know what heaven's going to be full of? Heaven will be full of people when they get to heaven saying, just like I thought, just like God said. And this is going to be full of people that are saying, you really were right, God. It's not up to us and our abilities to understand God. It's simply for us to fall into the hands of a loving Savior. We have lived too long in this world believing that we save us. Paul would write to the church in Galatia to explain to them that they don't save them. That there's nothing within their power, no circumcision that can save them. You are not saved by your efforts. You are not saved by the things that you do. You cannot go to church enough. You cannot praise God enough. You cannot believe enough. Church is not filled with a level of people who believed here and here, and you get to go to really, really cool places if you really, really believed at this level. That's not who God designed us to be. He died because we were sinners. Do you know that God saved you when you were still a mess? Do you know that? That God saved us when we were still struggling with this pile of doubt. That God saved us when we were still His. He knew that you had doubts. He knew that you had struggles. He knew that you would have unbeliefs and wonderings about Him. And God is bigger than that, family. And so this morning, if you come to worship struggling, understand that God never condemns the one who struggles, but He saves the one who searches. Amen? Are you with me? Everybody still there? God never condemns the one who struggles. He saves the people who believe in Him. And how big is your pile of doubt? I don't know. But guess what? God is bigger. God is better. Leave it with God. Walk with God. Take it to God. It's yours. What we do with God's Word will be up to us now. I want to strongly urge you, if you struggle with doubt, if you struggle with your junk drawer of unbelief, of things you're trying to still figure out, where do they go? Don't condemn yourself. There's something else you can't do, by the way. You cannot save yourself, and you cannot condemn you. That would be God's job. And He's here to save you, all right? He's not some cosmic God, you know, like a video game, trying to zap us. God wants to save you. Don't condemn yourself, but give yourself to God. And if we can pray over you, then we'll gather around you, maybe 6 foot away from you, and pray over you, all right? Isn't it great? Prayers don't have to be 6 foot apart. Isn't that great? The elders will be hanging around. Doug loves to pray with you, loves to talk, loves to visit. I will pray with you. But if we need prayers, don't leave today without praying. And maybe it's not up front. I think sometimes we make this and this is kind of our confession pew up here, and it's not. If you got somebody next to you, you need prayers, just ask them to pray. If you need somebody to come, I'll come where you are, and we'll pray together where you sit. If you need Jesus Christ, if you haven't been baptized into Him, if you haven't had your sins washed this morning, then today is a good day for salvation. If you have any need whatsoever, come as we stand and sing.